We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
The John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS.
Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk, sponsored by Wink Hartman and the Hartman Group of Companies. Another one bites the dust. Well, let's hope that's the case with this bill, I tell you. You can also listen to us by telling your smart speaker to play KNSS Radio. Make sure you like and share the John Whitmer Show on Facebook. And, of course, follow me on Twitter at John R. Whitmer. That's the best way to stay informed on all the latest show updates. So through a laundry list of proposals, the Biden administration's so-called Americans Families Plan would significantly grow federal bureaucrats' control of some of the most personal aspects of family life. While asserting more government control over Americans, this proposal also fails to address the real childcare, education, family leave, and healthcare needs of families. Joining us now to shed some light on the real impact of the quote-unquote American Families Plan is Rachel Gressler. She's a research fellow in economics, budget, and entitlements at the Heritage Foundation. Rachel, it's nice to have you back on the show this evening. Nice to have you again. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me, John.
So my guess, my hope is that every one of Joe Biden's proposals bites the dust. But you guys have identified five of the key features of the American Families Plan and why lawmakers should reject them. The first is the multitude of new childcare spending and programs built into this, you know, monstrosity that basically just expands government, right?
Really, this is just putting politicians and government bureaucrats at the helm of American families instead of focusing on what we know to be the foundation of American society from its inception, which is those strong families and meaningful work that builds those relationships and leads to prosperity. But, you know, starting here from the earliest age, when children are first born, there's a new government-run paid family leave program and government-subsidized childcare. And we all want people to have access to paid family leave, and it's important for parents to be able to spend time at home with their children or to be able to take time off to care for a family member. And that's why we've actually seen expansive growth in the private sector, a doubling in the number of companies that are providing paid family and medical leave over just 4 years. And now comes in this government program cut off all that growth and to replace it with a rigid and restrictive program that actually isn't going to meet families' needs. And what most people don't realize about these government-run paid family leave programs, they seem wonderful, but they don't actually get to the low-income workers. They're primarily subsidies for middle and upper-income workers, and yet everybody is paying the taxes into them. So really what should be happening here is stepping back to allow more private growth from those employers so that people can have flexible and more generous policies.
Well, and again, it's this, the typical Democrat playbook of these one-size-fits-all programs that really don't solve anything, and in this case, take away existing employer-provided programs. The second thing you guys point out is the unprecedented increase in education spending. Big shock. It's not like, you know, America's schools didn't just get a ton of new money as part of the COVID plan. Here they are again, just dumping money into programs without any concern about the America's debt, which we could do a whole new show on that. You and I could talk that for, we could go 20 minutes on that subject alone. But here we are, you know, a whole bunch of stuff, including free community college. And they don't even consider the fact that completion rates at community colleges is about 34%. So I can't imagine that's not going to get any better when students aren't paying for it. No regard to that, though.
No, and this is just this massive government takeover of education, and they're expanding it down. So I want to start first with the child care component of this. They're calling this education, but what any parent knows is if you have a newborn child, a one-year-old, a two-year-old, they don't need an education. They need to be cared for.
Right.
And somehow they're selling this as a, quote, investment in children's futures. So if somebody else pays for my child to go to a government-directed child care center, that's an investment. But if I choose to stay home with that child and sacrifice wages, that's a drain on society because I'm not paying taxes. I'm not earning an income. But what doesn't look at the other side of the equation here is that's actually a huge investment in children and in their future, not just in those children themselves, but in society as a whole, because we've seen when governments have implemented these highly subsidized programs, such as Quebec's $5 per day child care system, yes, it led to more young women working, but it had strong consequences for those children that were involved in it and for the families, you know, more hostile parenting, more aggression, more anxiety. The children that were exposed to it when they were teens, they had higher crime rates, all sorts of negative consequences. So that shouldn't be called an investment. You need to look at both sides of the equation there. But beyond the child care, it goes to universal preschool. So now instead of starting from K to 12, when we have these government-run curriculums that are in some cases indoctrinating children, that's going to reach down now to 3 and 4-year-olds. But really what we've seen with programs like Head Start is that those don't actually have any positive impact on children's outcomes in the future. They're spending a ton of money, but they're failing to produce any sustained benefits there.
Well, and frankly, with the government pushing to teach cockamamie theories like critical race theory, I don't know how much more we want the government involved in teaching our children anymore. I mean, I'm sorry. I know there are some schools out there that do a great job, but I just, as
no, there
younger
are, but
children
there, we don't
should
need
be
to
in
have
the home.
Inclusion programs for 3-year-olds.
Right. Thank you. Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. And then again, you know, back to the free college stuff. I'm sorry, but if you're not paying for it, you don't have any skin in the game. And they're already not completing. The completion rate, like I said, stands at 34%. It's not going to get any better if they don't have to pay for it.
Exactly. And they also already, about 50% of students who are attending community schools are not paying for it to begin with. And that's probably part of why the completion rates are already so low there. But a better way forward is why not look at apprenticeship programs where students don't have to pay anything and taxpayers don't have to either. They can actually get paid to learn a skill.
Amen.
That will lead to, you know, a very fulfilling career.
Yep, I agree. Technical colleges are fantastic ideas. We're talking with Rachel Gressler from the Heritage Foundation. The American Family Plans would also make permanent a $40 billion expansion of Obamacare. You know, that does nothing to address the real problems with rising health care costs. All that does, again, is subsidize their insurance, which is already out of hand. It's again, this is just more government dependence, isn't it?
It is. It's welfare for the wealthy. You know, these subsidies are not going to low-income individuals that don't have health care already. They're going to higher-income individuals that already have health care, and it's just transitioning them from having a private or employer-provided care to being on the government program.
Well, and you mentioned that, you know, redistribution. That's, again, the fourth issue that you point out is the permanently expanding the welfare state. The sad part of this thing is the fifth issue that you guys have highlighted, and that is the plan is financed all through tax hikes that really just harm the economy. And I know they emphasize, oh, we're just taxing the rich and we're taxing big corporations. But, you know, anytime you tax a business, the business doesn't pay that tax. They pass that tax on to the consumer.
Well, that's exactly the point. There's this notion that we can just tax big businesses, and we think of these buildings that are sitting out there, but buildings don't pay taxes. People do. And so it's the people that are working inside those buildings, and it's the people that are buying the products and services from those buildings. And that's exactly why we saw with the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, after that was passed and these corporations had more money to invest in workers, the bottom 10% of workers saw a 15% increase in their wages over just 3 years. That was higher than any other group out there. And so the way that we help lower income Americans have rising wages is to reduce taxes, not to increase them. But moreover, this notion that it can all just be paid for by taxing the rich is simply mathematically impossible. Take away a small portion of a $1.5 trillion tax cut and finance over $4.5 trillion in new spending.
And I saw the analysis that you guys shared from the Tax Foundation that showed that, this tax increase would actually reduce federal revenues by $133 billion over the next decade, because the high taxes would disincentivize people from realizing gains and paying the tax. And corporations just aren't going to do it. It's like the Biden administration doesn't hire economists, or they just get the ones that'll tell them what they want to hear.
Well, and that's exactly true here. You know, the most economically destructive taxes are those on capital gains, because how do people earn more income? They get paired with education and technology that makes them more productive. Those capital gains taxes are the most closely related to that productivity. But what we're really talking about here is, you know, European-style government programs and spending, and that's going to mean European-style tax rates on lower and middle-income Americans, where over there the average person making the equivalent of $40,000 per year pay $6,000 more in taxes than an American that makes that much. And so we can pretend it's just going to affect the rich, but the reality is it's going to mean thousands and thousands of dollars more coming out of lower income and ordinary Americans' pocketbooks.
Come on, Rachel, you just don't pay your fair share. So.
Well, speaking of fair shares, I will note that the president talks about cracking down on, you know, the money that people aren't paying their own fair share. But he and Jill have managed to avoid paying $500,000 in Obamacare and Medicare taxes by classifying their income that they've earned from their book royalties and speaking fees as part of an S corporation profit, instead of saying that it's income like ordinary Americans would pay.
Oh, how come? You know, it's amazing. I haven't seen that covered on a CNDNC TV at all. It's amazing how that is. Amazing that MSNBC hasn't done a feature on that, nor has the New York Times. Amazing how that works. Rachel, thank you for joining us this evening. We shared a link to your recent Daily Signal article on this on the John Whitmer Show Facebook page. But if folks want to read more of your articles, they can visit dailysignal.com or heritage.org, correct?
Correct. Thank you.
Well, Rachel, thank you again for joining us. Carry on the fight, my friend. Always a pleasure having you with us.
Thank you, John.
Coming up, we'll discuss the disturbing downward trends in the economy with Wichita businessman Wink Hartman. You're listening to The John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk.